Welcome back to What's New with Mead. We're back with episode 67, and I have Larry Rowe, who is a well-known mead maker in my world. And in the world of mead contests, he's won himself some awards. He's all over Discord. You've probably seen his name on Reddit as well, maybe if he every once in a while. But Larry is the pioneer of the newest operating mead calculator. He has spent a lot of time and is still investing time, even as we're speaking, you know, working on the ironing out a few kinks. But Larry, I am super glad to get to talk to you about mead calculators, because it's a very important topic for people who are especially just getting started. You're making everyone's life easier. So welcome.
It's nice to be here. I kind of think I'll start just by like why I decided to do this to begin with. So I've been thinking a while about trying to change careers. So I was looking into something that I hopefully would enjoy a little bit more, and that led me towards web development. And my thought was that I needed to find a project to work on that helped me with those skills and at the same time be something interesting. And one of the biggest issues that I have with the available tools out there for, like, as far as mead calculators, are they don't automatically account for the volume of ingredients, specifically fruit, stuff like that. And that trips up a lot of beginners, especially. If you don't account for that, you're going to be really far off from where. So my goal was to create a calculator that would include those volumes. And I had absolutely no idea going into it, like, what all that was going to involve. Because obviously, you're going to have to, like, make some estimates here and there. Like,
right.
You're not going to know for every individual thing. But I also didn't want to. I didn't want my first exposure to all of the math and stuff that was going to be involved to be the actual, like, programming project that I did, because there's a lot of math and stuff that went into, like, making the calculator work. So I decided that I was going to make it into a spreadsheet first. And I also thought that would be a good opportunity to go ahead and get it out there so people start using it. So that was how it all, like, kind of came about. I just I talked with some friends about, like, what would you want to see in a calculator that isn't available in the other ones that are available, and as far as, like, features and stuff. And we talked through that. I talked through, like, what I was going to call it and how we were going to do all of that. Had a lot of help on the front end there figuring all of that out. But then I just kind of dove deep on figuring out how to make it work, figuring out how I was going to account for volume of ingredients, figuring out. I wanted it to be something that is as easy as possible to go in and just put in ingredients and spit out a recipe.
Right.
Rather than something like Mead Calc, which I love and was, you know, the inspiration for a lot of this. But if you don't know how to use Mead Calc, you don't get good input out of it. And I want something that's easier to use. Yeah. And one of the things that came out of that too was this: in the spreadsheet version, you can click a button and that opens up a PDF that you can, like, print out and, like, use for your recipe. And that's something I thought that was really, you know, important to have, like, all of those ingredients and the measurements and everything in one place.
Okay, so you're talking about a lot of fruit and things, and you're right, there's a lot of these calculators that don't really factor that in. And I remember in the Discord, it must have been like 4 or 5 months ago, I think you had put a list in there asking people for, it was for 1 gallon, was it no water? Is that, am I remember that correctly? You were asking for people to help figure that out, like the juice yield?
Yeah. So when I first started this project, I asked around in a couple of different places to try and figure out what sort of like volume ratios you get out of each like individual fruit. I ended up not going that direction because I found a way to use just the sugar percentage of each fruit to figure out like what an estimated volume would be. Because one thing that doesn't get talked about a lot is you're adding volume when you add fruit, but some of that volume is going towards your ABV and your dilution, but some of it isn't. The liquid volume is really all you're worried about. So if you can figure out what the liquid volume and the sugar coming from your fruit is, and then calculate that into the total, you can get a pretty good estimate of what your expected gravity should be. And most of my data on sugars from fruit came from the USDA Food Data Science website. And I've thought about, they actually have an API where you can go in and like grab that data. And I thought about using that for the web version of this. I don't think I'm going to go that route because there's a lot of like extra stuff on there, and I don't necessarily want to deal with that. And I've already, went out and took data for the fruit that I wanted and wrote it in the way that I want. So,
You mean you don't
but
want to go into
basically,
a nutritional side? You don't want to have, the nutritional sides of meat as part of your calculator? Here's how many grams
no,
of sugar
that's
you're consuming and how many calories and
there's a way to do calorie
Oh,
calculators.
don't do that. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants
That's
that.
I think that's actually built into MeadBot over on the Mead Hall. I
Oh,
think it
really?
does calories.
Oh,
Yeah.
no.
But no, I'm not necessarily interested in all that, but I went through on the database and would just, search for each fruit that I looked for. And most of the ingredients were just the ingredients that were already on MeadCalc. Because I mean there's more there than you would ever use anyway. There's like there's stuff on there that you probably haven't even heard of. And then I also, went in and after I got my list of ingredients, I went in and checked with some people and was like, is there anything that's not on this list that you would like to be on this list? And that's what I did. So that's how I made the list of ingredients. And then I went in and pulled sugar content and water content from each of them. And it turns out for the calculations, you don't actually even need the water content because of the way Brix works as far as the like percentage of sugar and your SG. You use those along with a constant to actually determine what the volume will be.
Interesting.
And that was actually one of the tricky things about getting it to work correctly. I went, there's not like anything really online about how to do that. Like, because obviously it hasn't really been done as far as like a commercially available or like widely available thing. Now, there are people that have, their own calculator on their computer that they're not sharing with anybody. But so tracking down how to do that to begin with was hard. There are a couple of people that really helped me out with that. And once I got that figured out and everything dialed in, the rest of the stuff is easy because like ABV calculations or you can look up a formula and it doesn't have to, because I'm using a spreadsheet or my computer or whatever to do the calculations, I don't have to go with the regular 131.25. I can do the more accurate calculations. And then after I got the recipe calculator working, I one of the main things that I thought was important to have is having the nutrition built into the same calculator, because that's not something I see anywhere. So I wanted, you to put in your ingredients, you get your gravity reading, everything, and then it prompts you to go and like put in stuff for your nutrients right away.
Yeah.
And I think, and another thing is like, it takes, it accounts for the amount of fruit you put in there too.
I was going to ask so that.
It puts the offset, it sets the offset to what the normal, like, expected, like, offset should be. So it's,
how do you figure that part? Cause that's also tricky. Obviously, everyone always talks about, you know, I'm making a blueberry mead, whatever. And then they're like, well, you don't need to add as much yeast nutrient. What did you do to, I don't know, jump into that idea more?
So with low fruit loads, it doesn't really matter that much. And in fact, like if I'm using juice, I don't worry about it at all. Because like most of the like nutrients that are actually in it are, you know, in the skins and in the pulp and stuff. So that's actually why it's a bad idea to just drink fruit juice all the time. You're just consuming a lot of sugar without all the fiber and extra stuff that goes with it. But there's like some common like wisdom for like how much to add per gallon. And I don't want to quote the wrong thing right now, but I think it's like 25 ppm of yam per every 3 pounds of fruit per gallon.
Okay.
It's something like that. It's either 25 or 50. And I can't remember it right now, but I assure you that when I did, I, you know, wrote it down and used that, but it calculates that for you too. And, I believe, I don't know if you can change it in the spreadsheet version or not, like change the offset, but I know in the web version, my biggest goal, going forward is to make every field customizable. Mm. So like when you, right now for Mead Tools, on the spreadsheet, when you pull up an ingredient like honey or whatever, it has that set sugar percentage in bricks. Mm. And that's based off of the table that I got from the USDA. And you can't change that because it's just taking it from a table out of the spreadsheet. My goal for the web version is, when you change over to a different ingredient, it updates that form value, and then you can go in and change it whatever you want.
If okay.
You choose to. So if you are going through and like taking a refractometer to your fruit and like measuring it exactly, you can go in and put that.
Okay. Yeah.
Or if you don't feel like doing all of that, you can use the estimates that I already put in there.
That's awesome.
So the goal for the web version is to be as customizable and as customizable as possible while still allowing people who don't want to deal with all that to just plug stuff in.
Yeah. You don't want to get so far, so deep that like, I don't know. It's like a tough line to be beginner friendly, but then also like you're going to have the people who are like super well-known mead makers who actually take and figure out the refractometer, you know, where their juice is. That's a tough line to toe, but I think it's really cool that you're doing both and that you've done so much legwork as it is. Like this sounds like quite the undertaking. I am not a math person. Be very clear about that. In fact, I was planning a video, and I'm still going to do this video eventually. I just have to wrap my brain around the math of it about fortifying mead. And so I'm looking up like, you know, how do you figure out the ABV change when you fortify mead? And I found this post from somebody on Reddit, and they did the math for like example. I read that thing like 20 times, and my brain cannot wrap it around it. And so I can only imagine you are going through that numerous times with all these different kinds of variables. Like that's impressive.
There's a lot of stuff I didn't anticipate when I started. Particularly like there's an extra calculators tab on Mead Tools. Just has like extraneous, like extra stuff, like a sulfite calculator, a sorbate calculator, and a refractometer calculator, stuff like that, just like various things that you might need.
Yeah.
And that was honestly more work than the main calculator because each one of those individual ones has its own set of formulas, mm-hmm. and a lot of them build on each other too. Mm-hmm. Because if you have an ABV calculator, and I've got just two lines, like one where you put in the OG, one where you put in the SG. A lot of people are going to want to be able to see, like, what is that OG in bricks? What is the SG in bricks? What is your, what are your Dell units when you get done? Like, all of this extra information that you really want to have.
Yeah.
The user's only putting in two numbers.
Yeah, and you're having to do like seven.
I have to go in and figure out all of it.
Oh, man.
And it's, yeah, so the extra calculators was more work than the initial, like, getting stuff together. And the thing that I'm finding the hardest right now, because I've been working on the web version for a while, pretty much as long as the spreadsheet's been out, I've been, you know, toying around with doing the web stuff as I've learned more stuff. And I'm coming up on the point where I'm finally coming up on the end of it, where I've added what I want to add to it. And I'm just now going back in and sifting through the nutrient calculator and the regular calculator, and it's a lot of work to sift through all those formulas again and like go back to where everything is.
Yeah, this is like coding. You're literally just making a
yeah,
website.
It is.
I'm just impressed, man.
And I've got some other things planned for the website that I haven't that I actually don't even know how to do yet. Mm. So hopefully I learn those things in the near future.
Yeah.
My goal is to still maintain that, like being able to print out a PDF of your recipe. And then eventually I want to get to where you can have a user account and it saves your recipes.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
But that's not something I currently know how to do.
Another skill you'll have to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was, There were two goals for this project. One was for me to learn how to do things, in like coding things, and the other was to put out a product that would help people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's definitely done both. I've still got a lot of work left to do, but I should have something with the web version out in the next month or two.
Okay.
I hope.
Cool. I was going to ask the timeline.
Feels like a long time, but I've been working on this since August.
So. Right. I mean, that's the thing though. Like, and I hope that people who are hearing this are excited to use it one day. Cause obviously it's a lot of work going into it, first of all, but two, that end goal of recipe creation, I think every mead maker, we all have these crazy dreams and aspirations, and we all have the grand ideas of like, what if I make a no water, you know, blueberry mead, and wait, how many blueberries am I going to need? And, you know, what is this going to mean? And so being able to one day, like actually start to plug in some numbers and not just guesstimate what you're going to need. Cause I do it all the time. I have the idea. I get all the stuff. I'm shooting for 1120 starting gravity, and then I mix it up and it's like 1100. What? How did this, you know, what happened here? So having like a greater idea will hopefully save you money or make you spend more money depending on which way you fall. But regardless, have a greater plan going into what you're doing. And especially the, you know, that the nutrient calculator side, talking about that, that's something I've seen on a lot of these calculators. And I think some of them do it well. But to have the nutrient calculator and that recipe, like you're talking about, is going to be so cool. That way you don't have to bounce back and forth and go, well, I like the nutrient calculator on this guy, but I also like the recipe one on this one. And
something I didn't mention earlier, but I definitely want to. So I took most of the nutrient calculator from the one that you can get on the Mead Wiki. Mm-hmm. But my biggest complaint about that is it's not user-friendly at all for beginners.
Yeah.
If you just want to use like the Travis Blout Elliott like nutrient schedule, it's set up to do that really well.
Yeah.
But if you want to do anything else, it's not. And you know, they've made other spreadsheets where it's like a just Fermate O or just Fermate K calculator. And I trust their stuff more than I do a lot of the like websites and stuff, mm-hmm. but it's not easy to use.
Yeah.
So my goal with Mead Tools with the nutrient calculator was to have the exact same math behind it that they do. But you have a little drop down where you select your nutrient schedule. And then you have another little drop down where you select how many nutrient additions you're doing.
Yeah.
And then it does all of that for you. So you don't have to go in and figure out how many grams per liter of Fermate O, Fermate K, and DAP I need and like plug all of that in. But again, I want that to be an option too.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time figuring out how to make that work.
Are you having to, so on that topic, are you having to also program in a TOSNA, a staggered nutrient side for things?
So what I did for the original spreadsheet and what I'm going to do for the website, it calculates all the nutrients you need based off of whatever schedule you give it. Hmm. And I have every combination of Fermate O, K, and DAP. So that's TOSNA, that's Travis Blood Elliott with all three, that's Fermate K and Fermate O, Fermate K and DAP, Fermate O and DAP, which I've never used together by themselves, but
neither.
It's an option.
Yeah.
Or just DAP by itself. Like every combination I have in there. And if you select them, it automatically calculates how much you need of each. And then you go in and separately select how many nutrient additions you want to do. Mm. So it takes your total and then divides it by that. So I have it set to 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Okay.
So you can split it up into 4 or do 3. And if anybody wants anything more than 1, 2, 3, or 4, I'm sorry, you're going to have to do that math.
I like my nutrients in 7 parts.
Yeah. But
I'd be surprised if someone wanted more than 4.
Yeah, so I have a section for preferred schedule and then a section for number of additions. Oh, and another thing that I added to the nutrient calculator that I didn't think about, instead of having to select low, medium, or high nutrient requirement and look that up, mm-hmm. I have just a bunch of yeasts in there.
There you go. Yeah.
So I did all the work for you in figuring out what your yeast nutrient requirement is. And I have it for every Laven yeast I could find, every Mangrove Jack yeast I could find, every Red Star yeast I could find, and then an other section that just has generic beer yeast, Kvike yeast, other high nutrient, other medium nutrient, other low nutrient.
Okay.
So pretty much anything you can think of, you can go in there and click on that, and it'll pull up your nutrient or your nitrogen requirements. So you don't have to do that yourself either.
That's awesome. I've done that. I've had to do, when I did my big yeast test, I had to scour the white pages of all of those and figure that out. That was quite the thing. You didn't go for bread and yeast? You didn't have a bread yeast category in there?
That can be the other high nutrient or medium nutrient.
Yeah, just teasing you.
Yeast. Yeah, and I didn't even do like different strains of Kvike because they're pretty much all the same.
Right.
And I did all of the Laven yeast, which I don't know if you've ever went and looked to see how many Laven yeast there are.
Of them.
It's a lot.
I've done, test was like maybe a third of them.
Huh?
I feel like my test was only like a third of them. There's so many.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot of them. And, you know, some of the data is questionable, like the Red Star stuff, it's hard to find exact things. And Mangrove Jack has some claim stuff on their website. Whether or not you believe their stuff is up to you, but like I went through and found all of it. It's all on there. So yeah.
Well, that's again, you're doing so much legwork to get this thing going on.
Yeah. And I just want it to be all in one place.
Yeah.
You know, we've got so many different resources that are like scattered, like all over the place.
Yeah.
Like Mead Calc is great if you, again, if you know how to use it, right, to calculate all of your stuff. But then you got to go somewhere else for your nutrient calculator, and you got to go somewhere else for your refractometer calculator or whatever. Like, it's just nice to have everything in one place.
Right.
And that's something I felt like we were really missing. And it's something that I hope that the spreadsheet has helped people with, and that I really hope the web version improves on. And I think it will. I think it's just going to take me a little bit more time to get everything in order. But I do have all of this styling pretty much done. So I know what it's going to look like when it's done. And as of yesterday, I have a logo.
I saw it. So it's pretty cool. That's a cool looking logo too.
Yeah, so that's neat. I enjoy, you know, messing with the styling a little bit, but it's just, I'm ready to put the like version out there, but it's not quite there, and I really want it to be good before it goes out there. I don't want to send it out early just because I want it, you know, to be out in the world.
So did you, as you're like designing this, did you end up taking maybe some recipes you'd created in the past and running them through to see how accurate they were to what your results were?
I've done that tons of times. I've compared results between, you know, just the regular way I would do things, which is, you know, knowing all of these things, like 8 pounds of fruit is a gallon of, like, knowing all of those things and plugging it into Mead Calc, and I've compared them, you know, side by side and made sure that the numbers added up and all of this. And I've done tons of tests with stuff, and other people have used it too, and have, you know, verified that the numbers look good. Another thing that I haven't added yet that I'm looking at it right now that I'm going to add is an input for juice, which is something you could do in the spreadsheet, but it's kind of not intuitive about how you do it.
Yeah.
There's a line for water down at the bottom, because like all of the ingredients you put in either pounds or kilograms. But obviously sometimes you want to put in liquid ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to put that in by volume. And there was an option to put in by volume water. And so you could change the sugar percentage of water on the spreadsheet and make it work for juice. But I wanted a separate input for juice on the
interesting
next one. And then I also I have a completely separate spreadsheet for metric, because it would have been too much work on that spreadsheet to go in and do one that could alternate between metric and imperial. But the web version is going to alternate in between them. And you're not going to have to go to a separate website.
So for juice side, then, that means you're having to go find the OG of, or SG of every juice known to man, essentially.
I put in an average, and then you can change the average if you have a different juice.
Because I'm thinking, so I make my apple mead with, you know, apple juice, half water. And I know that starting gravity from it, because I've actually taken and, you know, done the hydrometer reading. But for somebody who may be less experienced, I feel like that's something that's scary to them.
Yeah. The juice line for this, my plan is to just have it like automatically set to like 12 bricks, which is like 1048, 1052, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you can change it if you need to. And another thing to keep in mind, like if you have a juice and you mix with water, that's what the blending calculator is for. Mm-hmm. So you can go in and put your, you know, 1 gallon of 1050 juice and your 1 gallon of water. And with that math, honestly, you could just figure out that it's 1025.
Right.
You get my point.
Yeah.
That's what the blending calculator's for. You can go in and use that if you have any like interesting combinations or anything. But I want it to be as easy to use as possible while still allowing for people to go in and do whatever they need. Because I want it to be something that I would use.
Right. Yeah.
And I have, you know, I'm not bragging. I have several years of experience now. And a tool that I would want to use is different from a tool that a beginner would want to use. But the goal is to satisfy both.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So are you, you've spent all this time, I'm assuming you were not doing much with bricks before this. Are you interested in bricks now? Like when you make your own mead, are you like, I'm going to go off the bricks scale? Are you like, nah?
So I used it a little beforehand because I've been doing most of my specific gravity readings with the refractometer for about a year and a half now.
Okay.
It's easier to just pull off 1 milliliter of whatever and then throw it on the refractometer, even if I have to plug it into a calculator to figure out what the SG is. You know, it's good. But I don't use it. I go and convert it most of the time.
Yeah.
I don't think in bricks.
Yeah. I've just got
I know it enough to know that like I mean I've done it so many times that I know 1.1 is 23.75 bricks or whatever. And then
but you've been looking at those numbers for a long time. You've been just like studying them.
Well, so part of it is like when I am working on something like this and I want to test and see if it's working, I want to use something that I know off the top of my head so I don't have to like go like look it up.
Yeah.
So I use 1.1 starting gravity for a lot of stuff just because it's one that I can remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know some stuff in bricks. I don't like super go by it, but it's useful to know when calculating stuff for recipes, because it's just percent sugar. Mm. And if you go and buy, you know, this weird juice from the store that you've never bought before, you can go and look on the nutrition facts and you can figure out what the percent sugar is and then plug that into a calculator.
Yeah.
So like it's really useful to know for all of that. And then a lot of the ABV calculators and stuff like that, you have to have the reading in bricks and in SG.
Oh, interesting.
So I've worked with it enough that it's just kind of in my brain, but I'm not like the winemakers that, you know, do everything in bricks or anything like that. So
I'm sure if I work more in it, I would definitely be comfortable. But I mean, I've got the numbers down of, you know, I know 1080 is 10.5%. You know, like I've got all those in my head, like solid at this point. And the idea of having to be like, well, I know that I got to go to the calculator. Like, I have nothing wrong with using that calculator. I just, in the moment, I'm like, I'd rather just list it off. And I mean, I'm wrong a lot of the time when I'm like taking these stabs at like, you know, what is the ABV of a 1074, you know, something like that. It's like, oh, well, I can maybe figure it out after a little bit. But bricks is definitely one of those I'm not comfortable with. In fact, you know, you're talking about metric versus imperial and all of those. I actually had somebody comment recently. They're like, can you start doing more stuff in metric? And I was like, yeah, I can. There's a lot of conversions that I got to do now. And so, you know, maybe I need to channel my inner Larry and just be willing to do the work, because my brain's like, man, I don't want to do that kind of work all the time.
We live in a weird world of mixed measurements here in the U.S. because, like, some people do, but I don't use tablespoons and teaspoons and stuff for brewing. I do everything small by weight. In grams.
Yeah.
And I do everything big in weight by pounds.
Yeah.
So it's like you've got that weird mix there, and then you've got like almost always my volume I'm going to measure in gallons or usually gallons.
Right.
So like going through and figuring out all this stuff has been really interesting, because a lot of the like rules of thumb and stuff that I learned, you know, that I use all the time, like 3 pounds of honey, you know, or there's 12 pounds of honey in a gallon of honey.
Right.
Like, what is that in metric? Is right. there a thing there? Like, I would have to go through and memorize a whole new set of things to work in metric exclusively. And I'm not ready to do that.
No.
Now I can plug it into the calculator fine. And I still struggle sometimes when I'm helping people that are working in metric, because like a lot of the like big fruit bomb stuff involves a lot of math.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that math in my head is in pounds per gallon or something like that. And like converting all of that into kilograms and liters just breaks my brain sometimes.
Yeah. I did a little bit of conversion for my website at one point of trying to do, you know, some things and liters and stuff like that. And it was messing me up, because I just don't think that way. Like, you know, like you're saying, it's just so different from what we learned growing up. And so,
yeah,
it's not impossible to learn. There's
one more thing that actually trips people up that work in metric a lot, that I see in the meat world a lot. So with potassium sorbate and potassium metabisulfite, if you're measuring by weight, a lot of times you want to know we're speaking in parts per million,
right?
And parts per million, if potassium sorbate and potassium metabisulfite were like the pure substance that you needed, parts per million is just grams per liter. They're the same thing.
Mm.
But you're not working in pure ingredients. You want to measure free SO2 and sorbic acid,
yeah,
which is not potassium sorbate and potassium metabisulfite. So the free SO2 for a gram of potassium metabisulfite is only like 0.57 grams per liter. So you would have to normally, for somebody working in metric, it would be as easy as dividing your grams by your liters.
Right.
But because of that 0.57, a lot of people get tripped up and end up like adding the wrong amount. And the same is true for sorbate. So that's something that's not really talked about very much. But it's an issue that I've come across a couple of times, you know, because there's a lot of international people in the Discord servers.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, specifically with sorbate and metabisulfite, people always do the generic one Camden tablet, you know, and then, you know, a half a teaspoon of sorbate, and as like just a blanket coverage. And that's, you know, talking about the difference between a pro mead maker and a beginner. Like, I feel like it's so easy to scare beginner mead makers if you said, well, make sure you go check out, think about how much SO2 you got left there and your ascorbic acid. And they're like, wait, what? I'm just trying to figure out what to do. So yeah. Having the ability.
And
to,
I want to clarify too, like, there are people that go in and measure things like that, but that's a really, like, if you want to measure free SO2, that's a really expensive piece of equipment.
Oh yeah.
Like, everybody's not doing that. I'm not doing that.
Right.
So like, it's good to know these things, but at the end of the day, something important to note is like a lot of what we do is estimates.
Right.
And approximate. And you just kind of have to live with that. So it's like as much like immersed in the math and stuff as I am, like at the end of the day, I'm just trying to make something that tastes good.
Right.
And so like, at a certain point, it becomes a little too pedantic to like keep going down the same, you know, routes or whatever. Like, I don't. One thing that I don't do that a lot of people that I would consider on my same skill level do is pH readings. I don't do pH readings at all.
I don't really ever either. And I feel it feels taboo, but yeah, you're right. There's like, that's a big thing people do.
Yeah. And there are good reasons to do pH readings. Potassium sorbate dosage is one of those. No. Is it sorbate or metabisulfite? I'm going to say something wrong on the internet. Oh my goodness.
It'd be sorbate, wouldn't it be?
I think sorbate is by ABV. I can't remember.
I don't even know. Wow.
It's not that important. One of them is affected by the pH.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure it's metabisulfite. Regardless, I just make sure that I'm dosing for what would be an appropriate like middle ground pH. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think it is metabisulfite. So I always, for my first dose of metabisulfite, I always dose 50 ppm, which if you look at all the charts and stuff, is a little overkill for what you might need.
Yeah.
But the other thing is I'm not measuring free SO2 either, so I don't know how much is in there to begin with. So I'm trying to go just a little bit over on the first rack. And that's the same as one Campton tablet per gallon. So right. It's not really that much different, except I'm using powder. And I prefer the powder because I don't have to split up and crush Campton tablets every time I do stuff.
So you're saying...
And then, like, I do really small dosages of metabisulfite when I'm racking to secondary and stuff like that. Right. So, like, I'm not doing quarter of a Campton tablet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that. So having the powder is a lot more convenient. But you have to know how much you want to put in there.
Yeah, that's why I've actually liked doing the Camden tablets more, because most of the time I'm dealing with like gallon increments. And, you know, I know that one Camden tablet is 0.6 grams. That's a metric or a measurement I do know, because I one time was like, okay, well, I got to figure this out. Like, I was trying to figure it out for video. But I definitely prefer the tablets right now over the powder, just because I don't have to think as hard. I know exactly how much is going to go in.
That's fair. A lot of people memorize the 0.38 grams per gallon, which is 50 ppm of free SO2, and it's 100 ppm of anything else.
So 0.38 grams so
per gallon.
You're saying that the Camden tablet is almost twice as much. Basically, it's overkill. You know.
No, Campton tablet has fillers in it too.
Oh, really?
So, like, compared to the regular powder, you use a lot less.
That's interesting. I did not know that at all. That's super interesting.
Yeah, Campton tablets contain some fillers. I think the fillers are mostly
stuff to clump it together. Is that what you're talking about?
Maltodextrin, probably. If I had to guess, because that's also a common like food filler for stuff like that.
Interesting. I had no idea.
I mean,
that makes sense.
Don't quote me on that. I know that they have fillers in it, because when I switched over from using Campton tablets to using powder, I asked around to see if I could just, you know, crush up the tablets all in like, and the answer was basically don't bother because the powder's cheaper and, you know, more convenient. But yeah, they have some fillers in there. So if you're using the powder, it's 0.38 grams per gallon. And that's a little over 50 ppm.
Huh.
Because potassium metabisulfite is 57% free SO2 instead of 50%. And 0.38 grams assumes 50%.
Okay.
But the reason that number is so useful is you can use it for other things. Like if you wanted to make a stock solution of acid, that 0.38 grams per gallon is 100 ppm.
Okay.
So
yeah,
a lot of people memorize that number so they can just use that. But I made a spreadsheet calculator like 2.5 years ago that was just two lines for potassium metabisulfite, right, just so I didn't have to memorize that and like do division and multiplication every time I wanted to do more than that. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of where, like, me digging through this stuff started.
Yeah.
Was playing around with that and then playing around. I made a sulfite and a sorbate calculator, and they weren't like fancy or anything. It was just a spreadsheet with two lines. You plug in some stuff and get a result back. But it made it easier for me, so I didn't have to look stuff up every time I wanted to do something.
Well, obviously, you know, that's the origin story of making life easier. As you talked about, you want this to be something that all levels can use. And I am definitely convinced that this will be a useful tool for all levels, because I've seen the mead community growing quite a bit, and there's a lot of beginners who ask great questions about, you know, how much should I put of this and blah, blah, blah. The question of will this be successful is not necessarily what needs to be asked, is can we get it out to all those people? There's so many new people entering the scene, which is exciting, but getting people to the right tools is the hard part.
Yeah.
And I hope that as people are listening, that you hear this and you go, well, on one, you want to use it yourself whenever Larry ends up sharing this complete result, or version one. I don't know what you want to call it, because I'm sure there will be, there's always things to work through, but
meadtools.com.
There you go. Mead tool. And I probably won't put a link in the description, because I don't think
it's not up yet.
Yeah. It won't do anything, but in the future I'll share it again.
Yeah. Eventually it will be up on that website. I own that domain, so
yeah,
it's not going anywhere until I need it.
And I know that you have done in the past, you did some videos on how to use some of these other calculators. Yeah. So I imagine that you will probably also do some in relation to maybe this calculator.
I've done some on the spreadsheet calculator. I've done two or three short ones, I think, when it came out.
Okay.
I could send those links over if you wanted to link those.
I'll link those down in the description of this, but Larry's already done, like, you can use the calculator. It sounds like you can use it in its, like, what's the video game terminology now? Beta version, the
like, yeah. So I did give it version numbers for the, you know, spreadsheet, just cause so right. There's if you want to use the spreadsheet version, it's a good tool, but the website will be a lot more complete. But if you want to use the spreadsheet version in the meantime beforehand, all you got to do is grab the link that he's going to have in the description and make a copy, and you can use it however you want to use it. And I think one of the videos talks through how to get everything set up once you do that. But not everybody wants to use a Google Sheet, so that's part of the reason the website, I'm so excited about getting to that soon. So
yeah, well, I'll be sharing all those things. And again, if you're listening to this, I hope that you'll use this, even just check it out. Like, if you're like me or many other mead makers who just kind of free fly and, you know, you kind of wing it, that's great. But also it's good to step back and like look at the numbers, because it'll make you a better mead maker when you actually look at the numbers and go, oh, that's how much sugar is coming from this. Or if you're planning a recipe, instead of just guessing and going, well, how many pounds of strawberries do you think I need? You know, it, like, you can just get better information to start. So your investment is more accurate than it is speculative.
Yeah. And this is something I wanted, this is something I really want to throw out there. I have absolutely no plans of ever charging money for any of this. When the website goes live, all the software behind it is going to go up on GitHub. You'll be able to go and look at it. If you want to use it for anything personal, you can pull it down and edit it, do whatever. It's under an MIT license. So, completely open source. You can do whatever you want with it. I'm not trying to make money off of it. I'm just trying to gain some new skills and help people out. So
that's super. That's a honorable important thing to know. Yeah, that's a
now.
Man,
one day I may end up making this into an app, like a phone app or whatever, and I may have to charge for that just because of how logistics for phones and stuff work.
But yeah,
so the website will still be available at that point, so people can go there and do it for free. So I'm not trying to make money off of this.
Well,
I'm just trying to help people out.
Man, I am excited for this, and I know there are people who are listening to this who are going to be excited to try it out. So I will, in my best of my ability, get everybody the official release time of when this comes out. The best way to actually continue to keep the conversation going with Larry, myself, and a ton of other people is through Discord. So if you're listening to this and you're going, man, this is really cool, I want to know more about how he did it, or I want to keep the updates going, Larry is involved in the Man Made Me Discord, and he's pretty active on there. And I guarantee if you were to get on there and at him and say, hey, what's going on? Where are you at with it? He would be willing to give you updates or answer questions or whatever thing is happening there. So that'll be another link in the description. Lots of links below. But man, Larry, you are putting in some work, and I am super excited and also super impressed because, again, going back to me talking about my little math I've done just in Mead, I can barely wrap my brain around some of this math, and you're doing it on like a 1,000th time scale. It's crazy, but I'm excited for you.
Yeah. I'm excited to get to the next step in the process. I'll be really excited when I get this actually going live, which is sooner rather than later, I hope.
And it will be. Well, Larry, I'm sure this is not the last time you'll be on the podcast. You are a frequent guest in various capacities and on the channel. And so I can actually just guarantee it right now. This is not the last time you'll see Larry on the channel. But thank you for spending your time hanging with me, explaining all about your hard work. And we can't wait to see the end result. All right, we will catch you later.